Corey Hart. How many of you remember that song? Well, today we're concluding our series, Masquerade. And we've been looking at masks. Masks we hide behind, masks we wear, masks we put on and pretend. Today we're looking at the mask of self-deception. And I think it's the kind of mask where you put on glasses and it keeps the light out. And I believe it's something that keeps a lot of people in the dark. I said at the beginning of this series that my hope and prayer was not only that we would identify some of the masks we wear, but that we would have the strength and the courage to take them off and lay them down. And we're going to have an opportunity to do that at the end of the service. And here's what I'm asking. I see our ushers are handing out the masks. I want everybody to take a mask and a marker. And here's the deal. I'm not going to ask you to put the masks on, okay? I'm not going to ask you to do something strange or weird. But I want you to hold the mask as we're talking this morning, and I want you to think about the masks that you wear, all right? We all wear them. It's just whether we're willing to own it or not. You know, maybe it's a mask that we talked about over the past few weeks. Maybe it's a mask that we're going to talk about today. And here's what I'm going to ask us to do. If something hits you while we're talking this morning, maybe something hit you in a previous message, but maybe the Holy Spirit prompts you this morning and goes, in your mind, you go, you know what, that's a mask I wear. I want you to just mark on the mask. You could put a word on the mask. You could put a symbol, a design. It's okay to write in code in a way that you go, okay, what does that mean? Well, that means something to me, all right? And basically what I'm saying is just make a mark that's between you and God that says, this is the mask I wear. And what we're going to do at the end of service as part of communion, you're going to have an opportunity to bring your mask and lay it down. Whether it be up here on the steps or wherever. So I just wanted you to know where we're heading, okay? Now, I am going to guess that we all know someone who has told a lie to themselves so many times that they actually believe the lie's true. And I think that's what happens when you wear a mask long enough. We look at ourselves and we actually start believing whatever the lie is in our lives. And I want to do a little experiment. How many of you would say, you know what, I really battle with self-deception. I am deceived about all kinds of things. I mean, the list is really long. How many of you would say that? Raise your hand. All right, a couple hands. All right, let me ask you another question. How many of you know someone who's good at something, or they think they're good at something, but they're not, or they have a problem, but they don't believe they have a problem? Let me see hands. Raise your hands. Okay, we got, keep them up. We got lots of hands up, right? Now, here's my question. Do we have a statistical problem? I mean, think about it. Just a couple hands up of who's self, has no clue, they're deceived. And yet, almost everybody here knows someone who is self-deceived. And I just wonder, I mean, the question that begs asking, could it be, is it possible that we're deceived, that we're deceiving ourselves? I mean, here's something to think about. Those who don't know, don't know they don't know. Those who don't know they don't know. For example, for years, I did not know that I have one pupil that's bigger than the other pupil. I didn't know it. I mean, one day I'm hanging out with my buddies, and one of them goes, "Wow, your eyes are weird. Hey, Tim, check out DT's eyes." Freaky, man. It was the 70s, okay? And I'm like, "What's wrong with my eyes?" They go, "One's really big and the other one's really small." And all the time, I thought I had great eyes. Normal eyes. I went home. I thought my friends were messing with me. And so I went to my mom. I said, "Mom, my pupils, what about my eyes?" She goes, "Oh, they've always been that way." She said, "That's how I know when you're tired, because when I'm tired, it's extreme. It's really extreme." Come to find out, my mom knew, my dad knew, my brother knew, my grandparents knew, my neighbors knew, everybody knew but me. And, you know, I'm thinking, I'm practically a cyclops. I didn't even know it. I was in sixth grade. I discovered this horrible, horrible truth. And I decided to take action. And I went down to the drugstore, and I bought sunglasses. The darkest, cheapest pair of sunglasses I could find. And I figured I owed it to society to cover up these monstrous eyes of mine. And I started wearing sunglasses all the time. I would get up in the morning, and first thing, I put them on. Showed up at breakfast in them. When I was eating, I ate in sunglasses. I wore sunglasses when I was reading, when I was watching TV, and yes, I even wore sunglasses at night. And friends, I can't begin to tell you how many times I tripped over stuff. I couldn't see very well. I mean, not only were things dark, especially at nighttime, but they were distorted. And sometimes I could see okay, and then I would look another direction and everything was really blurry. Couldn't even make it out. After weeks, I'm not a fast learner sometimes. After weeks of tripping and falling, running into stuff, I remember I was walking with my mom and dad. I tripped up the front steps and fell down. My dad, he grabbed my glasses. He said, "Enough's enough. Damon, this is ridiculous." And he put them on, and I think he was going to, like, imitate me, you know, how ridiculous I was. And he slipped them on, and he goes, "No wonder you can't see." You see, not only were the glasses really, really dark, they were seriously flawed. The fact is, the lenses weren't beveled correctly. And so you would look through parts of the glass, and you couldn't see anything. And here's my point. Many of us have this inaccurate view of ourselves because our view is distorted. In fact, I think the longer that you look through distorted lenses, the more likely you are to believe a distorted truth about yourself. You know, listen to what David had to say. He was talking about people that are deceived. He says, "In their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to detect or hate their sin." In other words, hey, I'm good on this. I don't have a problem with this or that. It's not a big deal. No one will notice. It's just a little thing. And friends, we flatter ourselves. We do it in such a way that we can't detect sin in our life. And here's the deal. You cannot hate a sin that you can't detect, that you don't see. You know, why do we lie to ourselves? Why do we deceive ourselves? It says, the words of their mouth are wicked and deceitful. They've ceased to be wise and to do good. Many of you know someone that's deceived about something. And granted, sometimes it's kind of harmless, doesn't matter a whole lot. Like, how many of you watch American Idol? I will catch it, like, when they're doing the auditions, the outtakes. Friends, there are all kinds of people that think they can sing, and they can't. Now, I'm sure some of that's staged. They're like, we need you to act ridiculous. But sometimes the person singing, and it's painful to watch. You've got this person singing. They think they can sing. Obviously, they can't. And so they're singing, and they do their audition. And you can see the excitement in them. They believe they nailed it. And then the judges start taking them apart. And friends, it's like watching a balloon deflate. And the whole time you're thinking, they can't sing. I do not understand why, when they're surrounded by like family and friends, that's what kills me. The whole time I'm thinking, it's awful. It's embarrassing. And then I'm thinking, their family and their friends, somebody should have stepped up and said, you know what? You can't sing, honey. You can't sing. True? The reality is many of us are deceived in some area. But it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. It's rather harmless. It's, you know, we think we're good at something and we're just not. But when it comes to sin, when we can't detect sin, well, you can't hate it. And it will destroy you. Someone says, you know, I think you got a problem with pride. We push back, don't we? I don't have a problem with pride. I'm not proud. What are you talking about? It's just I'm better at everything than everybody else. It's just the way God made me. I can't help it, I'm better, but I'm not proud. Someone says, hey, I think you're a bit of a gossip. I don't gossip. I can't help it. People tell me things. You know, the only reason I'm telling this is they're really messed up. I mean, they need a lot of prayer. I don't gossip, though. Hey, did you hear about? And friends, it's so easy to deceive ourselves, flatter ourselves, look at ourselves through distorted lenses. Friends, if you can't detect sin, you can't hate sin. You just can't. The longer we view ourselves through these sunglasses, the more likely we are to believe a distorted truth. You know, many times, not always, but many times, the more convinced you are that you're right, the more convinced you are, the more likely the fact is that you're wrong. You know, in counseling, they teach you that the more adamant someone is or defensive, you know, I'm right on this. I am right. I do not have a problem. Don't question me. When we protest too much, well, many times we're deceived. We're deceived. Pharisees in the New Testament, they believed they were right. They believed they had it all together. I mean, I picture them running around with sunglasses. I dot every I. I cross every T. I follow the letter of the law. I've got it right. Everybody else is wrong. Everybody else has a problem. And Jesus called the Pharisees on the carpet one day. He says, you know what? You may know the law, but you don't understand the law. You definitely do not know the God that created the law. You're wrong. And throughout Jesus' entire ministry, you got this push and shove between the Pharisees and Jesus. They believed they were right. And I think about Peter. We talked about him a few weeks ago. He was one of the 12 disciples. One day, Jesus told all the disciples, he says, I'm going to die. I'm going to die on the cross. And it's going to happen pretty quick. Remember Peter? I mean, he was adamant that he would stand by Jesus no matter what. Scripture says, Peter declared, even if everybody else deserts you, I will never desert you. Jesus replied, I'm telling you the truth. Peter, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. You will do it. I'm guessing Peter, he's pushing back with Jesus. He didn't see it. He says, no, Peter insisted, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. I mean, Peter's adamant. Everybody else may fail you, not me. I don't have a problem with this. I will stand. I've got your back, Jesus. It will never, ever, ever happen. Friends, the more adamant you are, watch out. Cock-a-doodle-doo. And he denied him. Three times. I bet that was a moment for Peter. Three separate times he denied him. And he hears the rooster crow. Blinders come off. Peter deceived himself. Friends, we're deceived so many times. Got this distorted view. Can't see ourselves. You know, someone says, you know what? I think you got a problem with alcohol. I think you've got some issues with painkillers. I don't have a problem. I don't even know what you're talking about. I could quit anytime I want. It is not an issue. You know, someone says, I think you're a control freak. You know, you're wrapped tighter than a spring. Look at you. You need to dial it down. I'm not a control freak. You don't understand. It's just I'm the only one that does everything right. Don't do that. Let me do that. I'm not a control freak, though. And the more adamant we get, the more defensive you are, the more likely you're deceived. I mean, what do we need to do to hear the truth? And we've talked about this throughout this series. Truth transforms you. Truth sets you free from whatever it is that's shackling you up. I know it's really, really easy when you hear a message like this. You're sitting there, you got your mask, and some of you right now are going, oh, I hope my spouse is listening. Mm-mm-mm. I wish so-and-so was here right now. They need to hear this. I hope my son's listening. I hope my daughter's paying attention this morning. Here's what I want to say to you. This isn't about them. It's about you. Forget about everybody else. Listen from your perspective. Ask God, you know, just say, God, what do you want to say to me today? And God, be really specific. Here's what I want to do. I want to show you how to overcome self-deception. Again, we all struggle with it. But one, you need to pray. You need to pray. You need to ask God to reveal to you where you are deceived. to just ask God, say, is there anything in me that's true that I do not see as true? You know, where am I deceived? You know, what am I missing? David prayed a prayer much like that. It's a heart-piercing prayer. It's a powerful prayer. He says, search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. And lead me along the path of everlasting life. Friends, I would challenge you to pray that prayer. Psalms 139 prayer. That's a life changer. You know, just ask God, you know, is there something that I don't know about myself that I need to know? Is there something that you want to point out that I need to be working on? Is there something that you've been trying to tell me? Maybe you've been trying to tell me through someone else. Search me, God. Know me. Whatever it is, I'm listening today. Some of you right now, you just did this. I don't have anything. I'm good. I got it together. And the reality is, you need to pray that prayer. We are all deceived in some way. In some way. If you pray that prayer, you know, search me, God. Point out an offensive way within me. Put me on that everlasting path. God, the God of this universe, the God that created you, the God that loves you, the God that is lovingly wanting to show you the truth, he will. Just pray, okay? Pray. Second thing, listen. God will speak. If you pray that prayer, God will speak. He will speak in a lot of different ways. He may speak when you're having that prayer. He may speak when you're studying his word, whether be by yourself or with a group of people. God may speak through a message like this morning, like we're doing right now. God also may speak through people that are close to you, that love you. You know, Proverbs 15:31-32 says, whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise. Life-giving correction. That's a beautiful phrase, really. Life-giving correction. See, there are people who will criticize you. They will correct you. And to be honest, they're just rude, okay? They really have no business in your business. But there are people who love you, who care about you, and the reason they say it is because they love you and they want the best for you. And God's trying to communicate to you through them. Now, little sidebar. It's not really the focus of our message today. But I want to say some of you need to pay attention to God's prompting in your life. You know, to love someone enough and God's been pressing on you to give that life-giving correction. In other words, the world may be cheering them on in the wrong direction, going, oh, just do what you want to do. You know, it's okay. People, oh, they're just being prude. They're just being a prude. Live and let live, man. Keep going. But if you love them, if you love that person, you need to speak up in love. If someone you know is about to do something really stupid, if someone you know has a problem in their life, if it's destroying them, it's destroying their family, it's destroying their marriage or their spiritual life, you need to speak up out of love. You just do. You need to step into them. Just say, you know what? You cannot continue down this road. What are you doing? Think about the consequences. Think about your family. And I know how this goes. Christians, we're pretty good at sitting around. Sitting around. You know, somebody's about to abandon their marriage or jump off a cliff or whatever. You know, they're chasing some elusive hope or dream that's just destroying them. And everybody sits around and we pray. All right? Prayer's important. Vital. We should be doing that. But there comes a point where you need to stand up and get between that person and their stupidity. You need to say, you know what, I love you too much. Nobody else is saying it, but I'm going to say it because I love you. Sometimes you need to be a life-giving voice in that person's life. And sometimes you need to hear that life-giving voice. Goes on and says, those who disregard discipline despise themselves, but those who heed correction gain understanding. Pray, and then listen. Listen to God. Listen to the people that love you. Listen to what they're trying to tell you. And here's the deal. If more than one person who loves you is telling you something, telling you got a problem, you probably do. But you got to listen. You know, some of you, I know in a congregation this size, some of you are dating someone. And all your friends, in fact, everybody, saying, you know, he's a jerk. She's using you. Your parents are telling you that. Your best friends are telling you that. Your buddies are telling you that. Your girlfriends are telling you. The people you work with are telling you that. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, okay, so they've cheated on me a few times. Okay, they've lied to me on several occasions. But everyone doesn't know them like I know them. Friends, I want to tell you, you deserve better than that. Listen. Everybody else knows. You don't. You know, wake up. Listen. People are telling you, you got a problem with your temper. You're explosive. You're destructive. I don't have a problem with my temper. What are you talking about? Friends, you need to listen. Some of you got a problem with overspending. I mean, you're spending way more than you're making. I don't have a problem. You got to listen. You got to listen. I could go on and on and on this morning with different scenarios. Listen to the people that love you. Some of you need to create an environment that allows people to tell you the truth. The fact is, you've been stiff-arming everybody for so long that they don't even bother telling you the truth anymore. They've given up. You know, what's God trying to tell you today? What are the people that love you? What have they been trying to tell you? What's God trying to show you about yourself? At some point, you got to listen. At some point, you got to take the masks off. You got to take the shades off. You got to quit deceiving yourself and playing this game, and you have to change. You have to change. When God shows you an area of your life where you've been living a lie, where you've been fooling yourself, deceiving yourself, as God shows you that, friends, change. Decide to change. For some of you, today may be the day that you change. We've talked about a lot of masks, haven't we? And I know that because I've got emails, I've had conversations, but, you know, you've had that moment where you realized, oh, I am wearing that mask. And I'm tired of wearing that mask. And I want to change. I want to be different. For some of you, today's that day. You make a decision. You take it off. And you lay it down. You know, maybe it's something we talked about today. Maybe it's something last week or the week before. Maybe, just maybe, we never talked about the mask, but as you were sitting here, you kind of go, he hasn't talked about my mask, but I'm pretty sure it's a mask. Well, lay it down. Lay it down. Today's the day. You just lay it down. For some of you, this will be a process. Today will be the beginning of laying it down. But because you have been wearing it so long, life's got really, really complicated. It's not just a simple lay it down. You know, for some of you, it's going to mean counseling. Some of you, it's rehab. Some of you, it's seeking professional help to help you navigate through because you're not even sure where to start. You know, for some, it's not something that you fix overnight. You got to have a game plan. But you can begin the process today and lay it down. You know, James says, do not deceive yourself by just listening to his words. Instead, put it into practice. So many people, good Christian people, listen to the Word of God. They hear it. They go, oh, I love the Word of God. It's so important. But in reality, I love God's Word, but I'm going to do what I want to do. Friends, don't deceive yourself. Listening, knowing, loving, it's not enough. It only matters. It only counts if you put it into practice. Put it into practice. Do it. In fact, I know right now some of you, God's speaking to you. You know the truth. God's revealing it to you. But inside, you want to do this, don't you? And you don't want to deal with it. And you think it's okay. And I want to tell you, it's not okay. You need to take the mask off. You need to quit pretending. It's a masquerade, man. Some of you are breaking God's laws right and left. You know, some of you living together. And I know, I hear it all the time. Oh, we're married in our hearts. Well, friends, need to take the glasses off. Move out. Get married. Some of you, your dating life's off the charts. The fact is, your life's kind of a series of one-night stands. You know, quit pretending. You're dishonoring God. You know, some of you, you're having an affair with Facebook. I mean, here's how the affair goes on Facebook. You connect with all your friends out there, and you disconnect from your family that's in your home. You know, some of you, you look in the mirror and you're thinking, I'm fat. You weigh 105 pounds. Because you believe some lie. You know, some of you eating yourselves into oblivion. Because inside, you're hurting. Inside, you're angry about something. Inside, you're trying to fill that void. You know, some of you, it's a financial mask. Spending more than you make because you're trying to fill an emptiness. You're trying to feel like somebody. You know, for some, it's the happy marriage mask. And the reality is your marriage is in trouble. Friends, at some point, you just have to drop the mess and say, you know what? Enough is enough. Get help. Change. Some of you, it's a religious mask. You're going through the motions, pretending. The reality is you have not talked to God in months, maybe years. And friends, I say, stop playing the game. Stop deceiving yourselves. Take the shades off. Drop the masks. And just lay it before God. Stop living the lie. Jesus says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. See, our spiritual enemy the evil one, Satan, whatever word you want to use. He's called the father of lies. He wants you to live behind a lie. He wants you to believe lies to be true. Because he loves it when we live a masquerade. Friends, you got to remove the lie. You got to drop the mask. Embrace Jesus Christ, who will in turn show you the truth, and he will set you free. Jesus Christ will set you free from whatever it is. We're celebrating communion today. And we're doing things differently, okay? Did you hear that? We're doing things differently. We're going to have two stations down front like we normally do. There'll be a station in the back if you prefer to serve yourself or to serve your family back there. There are going to be people in the two corners that if you would like someone to pray with you, they're there to pray with you. But as a part of communing with God this morning, I want to invite you to mark your mask in some way. It can be very, very simple. It could be a word or a symbol, or you can do something real elaborate if that's where you feel like God wants you to do. But I challenge you to bring it up and to just lay it down. Lay it down on the steps or on the stage. You can put it back on the communion table in the back. After you've laid it down, you can pray. You can stand praying. You can kneel down and pray. You can do whatever you want to do. The ushers, here's where it's different. The ushers will not be dismissing rows. You can just come forward as you feel led to come forward. You can come forward during the music. You do not have to do things in any order, okay? You can take communion, have prayer, lay your mask down, have communion, prayer, whatever you want to do. I'm going to pray in a moment, and then the band's going to play the song, Healing Begins. So anytime during that song, you're welcome to just come forward. Take communion, pray, lay your mask down, whatever. All right? Once you've done whatever it is you feel like God's calling you to do, then I just ask that you leave quietly. And the band's going to play as long as we need to play this morning. But let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, today we lay our masks down. God, we are all involved in some kind of masquerade. Maybe we're pretending with the people around us. Maybe we're pretending with our spouse or with our children or with our parents. Maybe we're pretending to be somebody we're not. God, maybe we're pretending that we got our Christian life together and it's a wreck. God, I don't know. We all have different masks, but we all have them. And God, we lift them to you today. And we drop them at your feet. God, I know you will give us the power to come out of hiding, come out from behind whatever it is we're hiding behind. God, you created fearfully and wonderfully, and there's not a person here, Lord, that you didn't create that way. We hide. We hide that beauty. We hide that perfection that you created. God, help us to be bold. Help us to be strong. Help us to be a church where the masks come off and we are who we are before you. God, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for what's led us to this. And we give you the glory and the praise this day and every day. Amen. Let the healing begin.